Okay. Shalom Aleichem. So we are in Chavis Halavis. Shalakniya. I'm sorry, just a second. Okay. Chavis Halavis Shal Hakniya. Eric. Hey. What are we discussing here? We're discussing the points to contemplate in order to attain the Midah of Kniya. Another. What are the points to contemplate? So what we've seen meanwhile, we saw 4 points meanwhile. He has seven. 4 points. One was Chazal's Dame Ayin Basa, to think about your very humble beginnings. Number two was think about your vulnerability, quite how helpless you are as a human being, how vulnerable you are to so many different things. You think you're something chashev, you barely have control over your own welfare. I'm just so used to those facts, but a person can always be assaulted from within by illness, chalila, from without, by the elements, etc. Number three, Titus, that's right. Number three, contemplating death. But the Chazalavas wanted us to contemplate it in a graphic way. He really wanted us to think of ourselves, picture the process of decomposing. Imamish was spelling that out for us. A person thinks of himself in those terms. It's certainly something that gets you in check and provides you with perspective. This world is not exactly my world. And again, humble yourself. Number four was to contemplate all the chesed of Hashem that He's done for us and how inadequate we are, we should be feeling, for in terms of what we could possibly do. The least we can do is to lower our heads before Him. Now we're up to number five. Achamishi. Number five is, what's the fifth point to contemplate in order to gain this midah of kniyah, of humbling ourselves before Hashem? When a person contemplates Hashem's greatness, the extent of His might, and you think to yourself that Hashem is there right now, scrutinizing you all the way through, all the way to the inside. Well, not just what you're doing, but what's going on inside your mind. And you really appreciate it. Meaning, we think there's me, there's Hashem. Hashem is basically the unknown. So, what He wants us to do is to quite appreciate quite how immense Hashem is. Now, how are we going to do that? We can't really do that. But He wants us to at least expand it a little bit over just like Hashem is just this abstract thing that you say He's big, you don't really know what that means. So, let's see. So He's trying to help us illustrate, to get a little bit of a sense of what it means that I'm in Hashem's presence. We just say in a very, very, simple way. Imagine if you came into a room and you find that in that room you're sitting at the table, and around the table are all the Gedolei Ador, right? Torah giants. You just feel a little bit out of place, right? Feel a little bit inadequate. Or let's say you're the only one around the table, all around the table are Lahavdil, multi-billionaires, right? The richest people in the world are at that table, and you're sitting at the table also. You kind of feel out of place. You feel like you're not really a natural fit here, even though that's not really important. Or if you're at a table with prime ministers, presidents, right? So-called world leaders are around the table. So to appreciate what we're dealing with when we're talking about being in Hashem's presence. So he says like this. Here's how he builds it up. If you just think about some of the great people of our past, how fearsome it was to be in their presence. What do we mean? For example, if you were in the presence of one of those Amoraim about whom it says, that when this Amora had a kpeda on somebody, he felt that somebody acted wrong and he looked at him negatively, the person crumbled into a pile of bones. Matt, you learned that sugya. You learned that sugya. And then maybe you skipped a few daf and you saw another such story about that same Amira. Right? And you looked at him and turned him into a pile of bones. And then you meet that Amira. You're standing in the presence of that Amira. I'm not talking right now about the fear per se. I'm talking about that sense of being in like the presence of something that's so much more awesome than you are, right? But imagine being in that presence, a person who you know, there are three gravestones out there of people who he looked at and Nasu Galshal at Summits, right? Or like we know the Gemara says about Yunus and Benuziel, right? Shayadirish Batayra, when he was busy expounding Torah, any bird that flew overhead would be incinerated instantaneously from the charge around him. So imagine being in the presence of Yenus and Menuziel. Scary. I heard Rabbi Shimon Chasholzinger, he was one of the Choshev Talmidei Chachamim of Bnei Brak. I just remember him saying, if I would find myself in the presence of the Chassam Sofer, I would faint dead away. Right. So these are the G'dolei HaTanoim V'Amoraim.
And you... If you open the door and the Mashiach was standing there, what would you do? So he had answered, Roland said, you would burn up.
Burn up. There you go. Yeah. So they were talking about the G'dolei Tanoim and the Meroim. It would be very fearsome to stand in their presence. Now bear in mind that the Nevi'im were much greater than them. So, you have Yonis and Menuziel, when he's sitting and learning, any bird that flies overhead is burnt to a crisp. Then you have the Nevi'im, who are much greater, much more towering than Yonis and Menuziel. Right? The Timsa Nevi'im, now, let's take one of those Nevi'im, it would be a pachad to be anywhere in his in his radius, right? Take one of those Nevi'im and consider the fact that that they would just completely melt away. The kirim u'mishtachavim, they would fall on their face. The pgias hamalach, if they encountered a malach, that they became paralyzed from the fearsomeness of standing in the presence of a malach, interacting with a malach, an encounter with a malach. As we see described about Daniel, about Yeshua, right? So you're picturing a Yenis and a Zeal, and then you picture him cowering before a Navi, and then you picture a Navi cowering before a Malach, and you try to think of what it means to be in the presence of a Malach, right? The Timtza B'Sifra HaNevim, and then you find in the Nevim that what? Ki Hamalachim Panu Mishtachim Labayri Yisbarach, that the Malachim, when they're actually in the tangible presence of Hashem, they completely melt away, right? They fall on their face, but it says even more than that, right? That they sweat rivers of fire. They're shaking and quaking, and they sweat rivers of fire. That's the description when they're saying Kadosh in the presence of Hashem. Hashem puts us under anesthesia, right? We don't even sense what it means. We're given that access every day, we're under anesthesia. We're completely not attuned to what's actually going on. Okay. And then also, but let's set the Malachim aside for a moment. Imagine coming up against one of his creations, one of his gaboyim of our world, the sun. Now imagine if you were actually put on some sort of suit that would enable you to get all the way close up to the sun. It's something frightening, right? Something awe-inspiring. And then picture yourself standing in the presence of the whole galaxy. See, again, when we're here on Earth, we see it from far and over a distance that it looks tiny. But imagine if somehow or the other you could actually get close and go from star to star and see the immensity of them, right? Okay. And now, like the Pasuk says, you have all of mankind is like nothing in his presence. Everyone living on earth is just nil. And you think about the fact that that Hashem is actually focused on you. The only reason I'm able to talk confidently now is because it's hard for me to focus on that while I'm talking about it. But okay, I'll have to take a break afterwards to just really contemplate this and realize tiny, tiny little me standing in that presence. Someone showed me a picture of Earth taken from the Apollo, whatever, from a very specific angle where what you see is, I don't know exactly what, like you see like these streaks of color. And somewhere in like, it kind of like looks like a rainbow. It's not a rainbow because we're talking about outer space. But somewhere they point to you, there's like a blue speck. And that's Earth. That's Earth. Right? To us, Earth seems pretty big. Our homes seem pretty big. But that's Earth, right? And you think of how tiny we are. We're actually encountering Hashem, that Earth is, that whole galaxy is so nothing to Him. And to contemplate being in that presence and that He is actually focused on you and analyzing you right now. That should certainly be something that is His medium number 5 of getting to Hachna, to the Midah of Kniyah. What's number 6? Just introduce it. Kishakuri v'sifra Navim. When you learn Navi, not the same point that we saw earlier. You see how much Hashem does not tolerate, can't stand the haughty. Like it says in the Pasuk. Okay, quotes a few Pasukim to this effect. We're familiar with these Pasukim, right? But that... I'm sorry. And how much Hashem cherishes the humble. Omar b'shfalim, right? It says about the humble that ma'oydid anovim Hashem. Anovim yirshu aretz, etc. It's like the Gemara says, right? Hashem says, like, there isn't room for me and a Baal Gaiva to be in the same place. Whereas a humble person, dafka, gains Hashem's favor. Like we said before, what can we possibly repay Hashem? The only thing that we can possibly do, kiviyachol, is to at least have the correct perspective on what's going on. If we humble ourselves, if we have that sense, then Hashem is attracted to us. Hashem favors us. Okay, we'll stop here. We have one more left. A good Shabbos.
Thank you. Good job,
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
It's around 7:25.
What's that?
You sent out an email. It's around 7:25.
Right.
So it'll be 35 minutes.